WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSuck in the Fortnite item shop. It was a clash in Paris where everyone got their song sung for them and many, many different chants. It's a shame none of the talent are over. And we're here to talk about it. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
We should really stop having PLEs in other countries because the crowd just doesn't bring it.
They kind of phone it in. They pay all that money to phone it in.
It's not like 30,000 people showed up, which overtook a record that was held by Taylor Swift for the building.
They made it known that they were making sure you knew.
They beat Taylor Swift!
They made more money than Taylor Swift did in that building. By God. I dragged this out more longer than 3 minutes. He's still not here yet. We'll have Acacia here. There it is.
Hey, there he is. As soon as you talk about it, say his name and he appears.
Yeah, I was dragging out this intro because we were waiting. So we have the one and only Keishi Matsunaga.
Hello.
And then there is Tim Stein.
Oui, et merci beaucoup, monsieur Rock and Sock. Bienvenue, mesdames et messieurs. Wild Talk Radio, avec au revoir de Clash à Paris. And that's enough of that.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. WTR Sunday night streaming live all over the internet. If you're not in where we got a chat room, join us. twitch.tv/WTR Live, and we'll wave, virtually, of course, because we really can't see each other in the chat, but we'll say hi. We'll chat with you. You can talk to team chat. Matt, how you doing? I'm pretty sure Lindsay is listening, the wonderful hostess of The Rock on Thursday nights. You can interact with her as well as me and some wacko ninja, and then we can tell Brent what's going on.
Yeah, I told people last night I don't look at chat first. At least last night I didn't. Tonight I may jump in there.
You may jump in there. There you go. Yeah, so we're here to talk about Clash in Paris. And those of you who speak French, pardon moi for butchering the language.
It's because we speak Quebec French and not France French.
Like proper Quebecois. French. We speak Canadian French. If you go to Quebec and say tabernacle, they'll ask what the hell's wrong and pissing you off. If you go to France and say tabernacle, they'll point to the nearest church. And that is definitely a Quebec joke. Nobody will get that one.
No one got that one. And we're here to talk about Clash in Paris. It took place this afternoon on the Peacock for the final time. A WWE premium live event will be airing on Peacock. It now moves to ESPN's direct-to-consumer service.
But NXT stays over, right?
NXT for till March.
Gotcha.
So when it moves to ESPN, so I just go to like ESPN 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 and be able to watch it? What?
No, it's their streaming service.
Isn't it like ESPN Unlimited or something?
Yeah, it's ESPN Unlimited. Here in the States. I don't know what's going on in Canada. You guys still have the Netflix?
Netflix.
Canada still has Netflix?
Yeah, we're still on Netflix.
So here in the States, it's on ESPN. Unlimited.
So look for your bundles, folks, because otherwise it's going to cost you.
If you have the bundle, it's not going to cost you anything extra.
No, that's not how that works. You need a bundle. It's a new bundle. It's not an old bundle.
The Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN Unlimited bundle.
Yeah,
you get for the same cost as getting ESPN Unlimited by itself.
For the first year.
Yeah. And by that point, they will probably factor it in with like cable or something like that.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
Yeah. Anyway, kicked off the show with Roman Reigns taking on Big Bronson Reed and his Shula Fala.
You said it wrong, Rock. It's the tribal chief versus the tribal thief.
What did we think about the match?
Well, as an opener, it did a good job. It's kind of surprising to see Roman Reigns opening a PLE.
Well, I mean, if you're not going to be the main event, you might as well be the first match.
Yeah. And I think with what happened at the end, it made clear why they did it at the very beginning.
Yeah, but there's behind the scenes reasons for what they did at the end.
So, the way I saw this match, they worked a main event level match as the opener. You had all the dramatics that come out with a Roman Reigns style main event. Sans run-ins. It was a clean finish.
It was. And it was kind of nice and somewhat refreshing to see. Although, I have to admit, I was surprised there were no run-ins or interference or anything.
I wasn't necessarily surprised because with what happened, I think if they had done run-ins, it would have... I mean, don't get me wrong. What happened after the match, in my opinion, took a little too long. But I think if you had a little bit of schmoz in the match, it would have made what felt after even more exacerbated.
So Roman Reigns gets the win in the opener. He was able to reclaim the Shula Fala. Bronson Reed looked really strong in the match.
The funny thing is with Bronson Reed, remember when he got released the first time? And I think I said this before. When he got cut, a lot of people were saying the reason he got cut was we don't know if he can be a big talent. I think a match like this proves, yeah, he can hold his own. He can be a name talent in the WWE. He could be a mania talent.
Yeah, he worked the main event match. This was probably the first time he's worked what you would consider a main event match.
Yeah, with a top tier talent.
Yeah, like there's
very good.
There's like a Raw main event or SmackDown main event, but this is like a PLE style. Here's a big main event style match, and he held his own.
Yeah, Roman picked up the win, but Bronson came out of it looking great.
Paul Heyman got choked out.
I mean, Paul got what he deserved. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, the crowd sure dug that.
For a second, I saw Roman grab him, and I was like, is he going to like hit him with the punch? Is he going to do that? Oh, no, he just hooked in that guillotine and just sat there. And you see Paul tapping his heart away.
As Matt mentions in chat, yes, he signed the shoes and threw a couple of them.
Well, he signed a shoe.
He got through the first set, first pair of shoes.
He got one of each.
Yeah.
He signed three shoes in total.
Who made the crowd?
Three shoes went out to the crowd.
Three? Okay. I thought it was only two.
No, he was working on the fourth when he got jumped.
Okay, I was going to say, I didn't know if it was the third went flying into the air thanks to good old Braun Breaker.
So, Brent said it dragged on too long. I would agree. So, Roman goes on to the announce table, celebrates, then goes back in the ring and does the bit with Paul Heyman,
and they
got the shoe. I don't know. I thought I noticed him showing up really early for it, Braun Breaker.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was one part where there was movement down in the bottom right of the screen where I saw someone like run and stop at the barrier.
And then took it and then laid down. Like he was in a black t-shirt.
And get down in that kind of like, I'm not here thing. And for a second I was like, is that like a security guy? But I was like, no, this is probably Braun Breaker, but he's not jumping into the match yet. What's going on? And then Roman's doing all of his stuff, and I'm like, okay. And then he pops up onto the barricade. I was like, it was Braun.
I think he could have got an early cue, or they showed the angle that they shouldn't have. Because you saw the crowd like kind of make a roar around him at ringside. But I saw him like dive down, and it was like Roman had to go back in the ring and get the shoes and stuff. I think he could have got an early cue to go down there because Roman went on to the table.
And I'm wondering if it's because it was such, you know, because it's an arena, it's like you have to make sure he gets there.
It's like a stadium. It's more of a stadium.
Right, it's a stadium, but it's like you don't want to miss the cue, so it's just better to send him out early and kind of hide. But unfortunately, like you said, I think the camera caught it, and I think people were like, ooh, what's going on? And it's like, it kind of set some stuff up. But yeah, you were sitting there for a bit like, we know something's coming, but they're really making this out a bit long.
So Braun Breaker showed up, speared him through the announce table, and then they continued to beat on him. He got back like he was being helped out, got speared again on the entrance, on the aisleway, and then took a tsunami, and then was put on tsunami. Then was put on the stretcher. Took a tsunami on the stretcher, on the stretcher board, and then finally Jey Uso showed up.
He got the late cue.
I don't remember the exact comment, but it was Cole said something about Uso
finally showed up.
When Jey finally showed up, he said something.
No, I think that's what it was. It was like Jey Uso finally coming in to save his cousin.
No, there's something. I'm trying to look for it at this moment. But yeah, what do you think of the angle, Cage, taking out Roman Reigns?
I mean, if you look at it from two sides, from the storyline side, I think it's a good way to kind of like just re-solidify. Like, I mean, Bronson had a great match. This is a great way to, you know, quote unquote, get his heat back. It gets Braun and Breaker involved without too much like shenanigans during the match. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, giving Roman that win as like the OTC and getting his shoes back and that feel good moment is great because of, you know, his position and limited schedule, whatever you want to call it. But then having the Bronze come in and kind of decimate them, and then the little bit getting Jey involved, which also kind of protects him a little bit later on that we will talk about. I thought it was all done very, very well. I mean, you know, the crowd got a Roman victory. They got Paul Heyman getting his comeuppance. And then they did some stuff to further the storyline of not necessarily Roman and the Vision, but like keeping the Vision strong the way you want it to going forward. So I thought it was good.
And the line was, family comes first. As Jay took his sweet ass time to kind of help him. And that kind of played into the story later because he took out injured and they played up the rib factor while he appeared in the main event of the show.
Go ahead. I was going to say, we would like to wish Roman well as he goes off to film his movie. So congratulations. He can now go be M. Bison in peace.
And Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed were barred from the building for the rest of the night. If they showed back up, they would be suspended indefinitely without pay.
By the sweatiest of Adam Pierce's.
You know, Adam and Braun just have this history with each other. They just do not get along as a GM and employee. Bronson's getting there. Braun has always been a thorn in Adam Page's or in Adam Pierce's side, and he's just that kind of like, anytime you see Adam Pierce and Bron Breakker comes in, it's like you see him getting the Tums ready and just like, oh god, it's going to be one of these nights.
Yeah, Bronson just needs to steal a pair of Adam Pierce's shoes.
Yeah, but he seems more like a loafer guy, so I don't know if you can necessarily pull off the shoe of Fala as well.
I mean, shoes are shoes. You take them regardless of whether you can wear them or not.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tie loafers around your neck.
Up next, it was the Wyatt Six defending the tag team titles against the Street Profits, who were promoting Borderlands 4 with their gear.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was one of those, when they put the graphics up and when they came out with the mask, I was like, what the? Oh, I forgot Borderlands comes out in like 2 weeks. Well, here's the tie-in.
That's one way to do it.
They were really pushing hard about the breaking up of the Profits.
Yeah, they hinted at it Friday with Bo and kind of sowing the seeds there. And then, yeah, that initial start point of Dawkins putting his hand up when Ford wanted to start the match, and then Ford hitting the hard tag to come in immediately. The Street Profits have always had this kind of simmering, when are they going to break up? And it looks like they're heating that back up again.
It was a good match.
Yep.
Oh, good effort.
Yeah.
Montez, when he hits that running jump over the ring post dive, is always impressive and always makes me pucker just a little bit because it's like you have to hit that perfect.
Yeah. I never get tired of watching that happen.
And good on for using the biggest cushion that you can for Montez's fall, a.k.a. Eric Rowan.
So, yeah, we had interference from Uncle Howdy, from Nikki Cross, Eric Rowan, allowing the Wyatt Six to retain.
It truly is the Wyatt Six holding the titles. It's not just, you know, Loomis and Gacy that actually have the belts. They're all involved in the match. It's just a matter of when. They all defend the title.
Yep.
Yeah, really, a pretty good second match on the show.
Yeah, it was a good job keeping that momentum going.
We then had Becky Lynch and Nikki Bella for the Women's Intercontinental Championship.
Poor Nikki.
Why poor Nikki?
I was just going to say, for me, I don't know if this is going to say anything about the entire card, but for me, this was the weakest match of the night.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Nikki was like the only person on the card that hasn't been wrestling relatively consistently in however many years. Like, I mean, probably if you look at probably how much training time she got before this happened, like steadily, because you also have to think about like all the other stuff that she does in her free time. I think she did a pretty decent job. Or, you know, whatever other constraints you have of getting her into a wrestling match.
Now
here's, that's not saying, like, if you compare the two, Becky was, you know, hand over fist the person who carried this match. But that's not saying that Nikki did not do a good job.
Well, no, exactly. And my point was, by me saying this was the weakest match on the card, the entire PLE was entertaining. And objectively speaking, there was really no weak spots.
There may have been one weak spot.
All right. Okay, one. But saying that this was the weakest match on the card, I don't want to come across saying it sucked, because it didn't. Yeah, Nikki showed some ring rust, and that's to be expected, and it also has to be forgiven. I've never been the biggest Bella fan as far as pro wrestling goes. I've never made a secret of that either. And I can't really complain about her performance today.
She worked hard. Like, she worked hard. Did she get tired a couple of times? Yeah. But she made up for it. She worked really hard. This was her first real, again, we used the phrase earlier, the main event level style match, because that's what they kind of work. It was different than her match with Chelsea a couple weeks ago on Raw. This was more high profile style match. She did more than she probably has done in a while, because everything else has been a tag except for the one singles match with Chelsea.
Well, you know, like with my critical eye, I noticed two spots where she either missed or forgot what was going on. But I will be hard pressed to think of anybody else who would have caught it, because she covered really well. Becky helped her cover on one of them, and it was made up for and moved on quickly away from.
They didn't harp. If
like
something
attention did, wasn't drawn to it.
Yeah, they just kept going. They didn't go back. There's a tendency to go back to do a spot. They just kept going.
And what's my number? You know, like what's one of the things I keep saying about blown spots?
What's that, Tim?
Don't keep going back to it. Move on.
Mm-hmm. And they just kept going. I do like what's been happening with Becky. And Wade called it the linchpin. That's a great name for her out of nowhere pins at the end of these matches.
Yeah, that kind of like backslide that she pulls out and is able to have as a kind of sneaky finish is really good. And it's also believable, because it's one of those things of, as a wrestler, if you get thrown into that and you aren't expecting it, and it, you know, like, oh, ties up your arms and has you in a weird position, it's hard to kick out of that. So it's one of those, when they can get the victory out of it, you go, oh, yeah, I can absolutely see that. It's the kind of thing with, what is it, Orange Cassidy and the seatbelt?
Yeah.
Where he ties the opponent up in such a way that it's like, you look at that and go, yeah, you're not going to be able to get out of that in 3 seconds, so good on you.
Yeah, but calling it the linchpin, that was absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and it's great for like a heel, because the heel, like, it's a great heel finish, because you're able to get out of a match, especially when you're on the ropes, to kind of like, okay, I can just hook this, get out of it, and be done.
Well, it's good for a heel, and it's also, in my opinion, really good for a veteran, because it shows ring awareness and that ability to sneak out, you know, to utilize such a maneuver. If it's like, if it's a, it's something that, you know, you could also see like a Kurt Angle do, because it's like, yeah, he has that tactician kind of mentality that it's like, yep, I can throw that in there.
So yeah, Becky Lynch, still your women's Intercontinental Champion. We then had a good old fashioned Donnybrook.
Yeah, here it is. Here it is. The match I had the least interest in seeing winds up for me being the most captivating, and in my opinion, it was the match of the night.
Sheamus versus Rusev. It kind of happens sometimes, Tim.
Yep.
This match lived up to Sheamus's famous moniker of banger after banger after banger within the damn match.
Yep. It was nice that they managed to, you know, find another guy who could go in there with Sheamus and they can beat the holy hell out of each other.
Well, what was it? The last time we really saw Donnybrook, if I remember correctly, was it was either Sheamus and Dunn or it was the Fight Night crew versus Imperium. And again, another great matchup for if you're going to do a quote unquote Donnybrook match where you just beat the other team pillar to post, those are some pretty good choices to have.
Oh,
because
kudos.
They're going to be stiff as hell.
Yeah, talking about stiff as hell, kudos to both of these guys for putting each other and themselves through what they went through in that match. Do you know how difficult it is to balance on two separate beer barrels? Never mind the bunch that are stacked on top of each other?
Wait. Whiskey barrels.
Whiskey barrels, whiskey whatever. It doesn't matter if it's whiskey or beer. It's the same shape.
He's Irish. It's whiskey.
All right, Irish whiskey. But still.
I mean, they were in Paris. It could have been wine.
Yeah.
That would be a cask then, not a keg.
A barrel. But guess what? It's shaped the same way. Same shape, just different name. But yeah, no, I have stood on top of those barrels. And they're not as user-friendly as Sheamus made it look.
Well, hell, you had the barrels, which white noise off of it, Jesus Christ. You had them going through the bar. And yes, I know it's a construct from the WWE, but still, you're going through, you know, a fairly decent wooden structure.
Hey, that was still a solid 1x3 that Sheamus hit the back of his head on. I don't care if it was a gimmicked thing. Even gimmicked objects have to be made with solid material.
And then just throughout the rest of the match, beating each other from just pillar to post using their bodies. It's like, and with it, I think coming out of this match, you're not going to fault the one person for losing because it was legitimately a war between the two. And so it looks more like the winner survived than the loser lost. Yeah. And especially via tap out, I'm just like, nah, by that point, I probably would tap a bit.
And Rusev was the victor. Hell of a Donnybrook.
Yeah. Again, like I said, both guys look pretty good coming out of this. As was stated on Thursday, and they kind of talked about on the show itself, this is it for the two of them for right now. We're not going to see the extension into, you know, Raw, SmackDown, etc. This is the end of these two for right now. And as such, you know, they're both going to come out of it pretty good.
That they will. We then had John Cena versus Logan Paul. Man, I wouldn't have guessed John Cena was over in Paris.
You know, it's a shame they turned him face when they did and sent him on the last little bit of this stretch as, you know, getting the fan adoration.
Yeah, that crowd in Paris would have turned him face.
Logan came out, they let him fucking have it. And then they had that, I like they had that little bit of a lull where it was like, you know he's coming, but it's that little bit of like build anticipation. And then the music hit and it's like, all right, yep, they blew the roof off and sang his entire song.
Well, them delaying as long as they did before they hit his Cena's music was absolute perfection. The crowd was just starting to, the crowd noise was just starting to die down a little bit, and then there it is, and it just brought it right the fuck back up again.
Then they had a hell of a match.
It was good. Let me ask all of you guys something, starting with you, Rock. What does it mean when a wrestler oversells, in your opinion?
When he oversells, it's his movement, his facial reactions.
Okay. Brent, same question.
When he oversells, that's a lot in that. For me, when someone oversells it, it's they're trying to give to their opponent, but perhaps putting a little too much effort into it.
Okay, Keish?
I think it's very dependent on the situation.
Bingo.
Like, you can have overselling for like someone who maybe isn't, you know, someone who's greener in the ring might oversell because they haven't quite figured it out yet. Someone might be overselling because it's like a comedy match and it calls for it. Some people could be overselling because it's Shawn Michaels versus Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam.
Pull out that reference.
That was just twisting the knife. That one.
So, like, I mean, there are variant levels of overselling, and like sometimes it's done on purpose, sometimes it's not, and sometimes it's done, and like the on purpose could be either like for a good reason or for a bad reason. So it's all, your overselling is very subjective and all depends on the situation, in my opinion.
Okay. Cage, really quick.
And that's what? Go ahead.
Really quickly, Cage, where does Dolph Ziggler fit in?
He is in a league of his own.
Because you have to admit, that man is one of the kings of oversell.
Oh, 100%.
All right.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, that's, but like if you, damn, in like his specific situation, if you establish yourself as like, that's how you do the selling on a regular basis, then you got to do it. The same way as like Rick Rude, relatively serious wrestler, but when he took that atomic drop,
oh yeah,
you know, it's about finding a time and a place and doing something for a reason, whether it's good or bad is up to the person doing it.
Now, what's your takeaway when I say John Cena oversold in the match?
I think maybe there were times that he did, but then there are times, like, John Cena has, once again, my own opinion, some of the ways that he sells, when he, and not just tonight, but overall, is very unique to John Cena. And it, like, has, I think it has more to do with, like, how he moves his, the character he's playing, and, like, how he moves his body when he moves his body, because like everybody kind of like moves their body a certain way, and he has a very like unique way of moving his body when he sells that is very different from a lot of other people.
And it's it's changed a lot since he's done all his acting work.
Yeah,
you see, so like it more.
Yeah, when you have him overselling against someone like Logan Paul, it's, he could just be like goofing around because it's his final time and he just wanted to like have fun with it. It's hard to say.
I don't know. It seemed like you had a pretty easy time saying it.
Anyway, the match.
John came to work. I think it's one of those, they had the build for this. You know, John's whole thing was, I mean, he's going, of course, on his last run. And as they pointed out throughout this match and at the very end, like, he's now essentially making amends for the past couple of months and what he did. But at the same time, I think he, at this point, understands what Logan Paul kind of brings to the table. And so, in a sense, he is a very good opponent for John, because John can, when he is the babyface, the typical John Cena, when you have someone like a Logan Paul, it is a perfect foil. Because John's about, you know, respect and hustle, and Logan's about flash and name recognition and all of that shit. So I think them working together, and plus you had Logan with some athleticism to kind of work around John, who, let's be fair, especially in this last little bit of a run, he's not going to have the step he had before. He still sells well for his opponent, but he's not necessarily the fastest person and going to keep up for 26 minutes. So Logan can be the speed if need be.
But in the end, John Cena was your victor.
He even pulled out a Pop Rocks. Or, you know, but the announcers called the Pop Rocks.
Second time since his return.
Yep.
So we'll see what's next for John Cena and see what's next for Logan Paul. But then your main event was for the World Heavyweight title. CM Punk, Jey Uso, and LA Knight challenging Seth Rollins.
I think, especially with the pre-match interview, we were all waiting for the shoe to drop in this match.
Yeah.
When they kicked out Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker, and Paul's not there, and the entire thing has been the Vision and Seth having backup, and then they did the interview where Seth's like, I'm two steps ahead. We all go, all right, when's Plan B coming out, because we know it's there.
And who?
And we did, well, yeah, and who? We were like, I was messaging Rock and Lindsay. I was messaging Rock and Lindsay, and I was like, all right, who is it going to be from NXT, or which wrestler have we not seen in a while? So I was like, it could be Austin Theory, because he could fit in with that kind of mentality. You know, they could be bringing someone up. I had an outside guess that it could be a certain someone, and that, I think, and that's ultimately kind of what paid off, because there is that connection, but I didn't know if they would go there. But this match essentially was just a matter of, when are we going to get to that point? Not that the match itself wasn't bad. I mean, everyone got their time. Loved the CM Punk with the Dudley call out.
Yeah. Okay, get the tables.
Yeah, get the table. And then even when they're doing that, there's just the genuine distrust from all three people. They have the common enemy of beating the shit out of Seth Rollins, but they all hate each other as well.
I wouldn't say hate. I don't think they trust each other.
Okay, yeah. They weren't going to be the closest of allies in this match. They all had their own motive and goal in order to win.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because that's the way a Fatal 4-Way should be. It shouldn't be, you know, a handicap match 3-on-1 or 2-on-1-on-1. It's like a Fatal 4-Way should be four distinct people who, sure, for a time, on the circumstances, will utilize other people. But at the same time, the second the opportunity shows itself, I'm going to go for that damn win in the title, because that's what we're all here for.
Well, they executed this four-way the way I like to see a four-way match be executed. There was backstabbing. Yeah, sure, you're going to team up, but don't take that first step, because he's going to kick you when you're not looking.
So they did this thing they like to do, where they like to really zoom in before a moment happens. And they zoomed in on Punk.
But you
Punk.
Don't see it coming.
So you don't see it. So the audience at home doesn't see it coming, because they zoomed in on Rollins, or Punk having Rollins on his shoulders going for the GTS. And then they zoomed down when he gets hit in the crotch by one Becky Lynch.
It's the man.
Allowing her husband to still retain his world's heavyweight championship. And declaring that they run the business.
Well, if ever there was a more perfect setup for a storyline to bring AJ Lee back, this.
Oh, don't worry. Her name got mentioned plenty of times in the post show.
Oh, yeah.
Jackie Redmond, Big E, everybody was throwing that name around.
There is rumor and innuendo that there's been talks of bringing her back into the fold here and here at some point down the road, and who knows, it could happen. There are creative plans and motions, and the conversations are being had.
There is one not insignificant issue with AJ. She has a permanent cervical spinal injury.
Which is why she won't be wrestling long term.
But here's the thing. They have talked to AJ about wrestling, and she has said she doesn't want to do a one-off or a short thing. She wants to go for a full run. If she were to ever return, she'd want a full run. Now, reading about that, hearing that makes me think she wants to be there for a good year and maybe hold the title for half of it or a quarter of it.
I think I don't think it's about a title. I think it's about having the right story, because we see people come back off and on where they just come in, they do a thing, and then they're gone. You look at Trish this year. She just came in for the one spot and then was gone. But she had a run before where she was like fully involved. You look at Nikki Bella right now. She's back. Was her, the plans changed for what, fully involved, but she was coming in with a story in place. Did Liv get hurt and change the story? Yes, but she's back for a run. And if if they have the ideas in place, then I think people would be more open to come back, like an AJ Lee, if they know, hey, long term, this is what we're going to do over the next 6 to 9 months with you.
And I think in this case, working with Punk is the big selling point. I don't think it's the title run.
At one point during the match, Seth said to Punk, "I hate you. I hate your family."
Yeah,
we get that.
"And I want you all to just go away."
Which is why she's probably on her way back sooner rather than later.
I posted on X as soon as that happened. But that being the absolute most perfect setup for an AJ Lee return, and I got some traction on it.
A lot of people were talking about it on the social medias when it happened. Everyone's clamoring for an AJ Lee return. Will it happen? You never know. It's more likely now than it has ever been in the past.
Watch her show up on Monday.
I don't think it'll be that quick. I don't think she's flying to Paris. So, but they are in Chicago for a SmackDown here very soon.
That's not a far trip for her.
No, not quite.
Well, and I mean, you do need a little bit of holdover for wrestlers in the near future because you've got a big show in Perth in October, right?
Yes.
You also have this show in San Diego, and if you need to take someone out of consideration for the name match of Survivor Series, this is a way of getting one or two of those people out of that mix.
They also have a WrestlePalooza coming up.
True. That might be a little fast.
But she could always return at a WrestlePalooza.
Yeah, she could show up at that.
Just to kind of make it known, hey, I'm here now. Who knows? But that was Clash in Paris. And all the things that happened. Anyone have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I do. What's a better finisher, a power move or a submission?
Power move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more impactful that way. The submission is more drawn out, so...
Uh-huh. Which one's more protected?
Nowadays?
Nowadays.
Probably neither. I mean, you have... I guess you have slightly more protection with a submission because they're always able to, like, crawl to the ropes, which is what makes a power move better finisher, because it's a power move and there used to be less of a chance of breaking out or of kicking out of it. Nowadays seems like no one really has a finisher to finish someone. So I mean, from that perspective, I guess nowadays a submission might be better.
There it is, right there.
But
the submission would be better nowadays because of the way they got things booked. How many times did John Cena give Logan Paul hit one of his finishers, and Logan Paul kicks out after not one but two?
I mean, that's in a row. That's every Cena match.
I mean, yeah, but it was his power finish.
Could you really call the power finish?
It's supposed to be. I mean, when he first broke it up, people weren't kicking out of the damn thing, and it was protected. And then all of a sudden, boom. And my point is, the finisher is the more protected move because almost every submission has a counter, but using the counter doesn't weaken the submission. When you use what is supposed to be your power move, there's not supposed to be any kicking out or coming back from it. But that is all that's happening anymore. And that may be a discussion for another day on one of those nights where we have nothing else to talk about.
Like next week.
You could also sort of say the same thing for a submission too, though, because, you know, back in the day, 20 plus years ago, like, people weren't putting on submissions three or four times in a match either and having guys crawl to the ropes or figuring out ways to get out of the submission. Usually someone wore a guy down, they put the submission on, and they'd either pass out or tap out. Now, and then, like, every once in a while, they had the crawl to the ropes, rope break sort of things for, like, or the three-arm thing for, like,
drop.
Big matches, like, you know, WrestleManias, like the big four is when you would do it, not just on like a standard. But nowadays, it doesn't matter what your finisher is, whether it's a move or a submission. In a lot of the higher profile matches and even mid card, and I'm sure down low, depending on where you are, they're always throwing that, trying to get those like close call moments. But because so many people do the close call moments, they've just become too normalized. And so is anything really protected anymore if everybody's doing it?
No, the real question to ponder until next week is, should they be?
And we'll talk about that next week. Teaser, a hook, a reason to listen next Sunday. Before we go, housekeeping.
Housekeeping!
Oh, hang on.
That's your...
I know, I was pulling up the spreadsheet. Dear God, Rock. Do I need to message you? No. All right, so we had...
No more less.
11 people take part in, or, well, 11 picks, I should say, this time for Clash in Paris, because two of them are inanimate objects, not people. I'm not making any judgments. They are literally inanimate objects. Tied for sixth, everyone went better than 500 for this event. So just know that. Tied at sixth, going 4-2. Speaking of the inanimate objects, we have the 8-Ball, the Magical Wheel of Fun, Subway, Rob, Matt, and Sarah. The inanimate objects were only the first two. I'm not saying that entire group was. I just want to put that out there because some people would take what I said and misconstrue it.
Yeah.
All right, so they all went 4-2. Tied for second, going 5-1, we had Tim, Keishi, myself, and Lindsay Ward from the Rec. Meaning, going first with a perfect 6-0, all alone, the producer, Sir Rocket.
You know, from about 9:45 until the match started, I kept saying to myself, "Shit, change your pick," and I never did.
Which pick?
Rusev and Sheamus. It's the only one I got wrong.
There you go. I just would have laughed if you would have been like, I want to change my pick. Which one? The Wyatts. Oh, well, you got that one right, actually, so.
Well, I wasn't planning on changing that one.
I didn't know.
Well, now you do.
But that is our show, and I'm not going to let Tim set this up because there's really not much to set up this week. There is no post-show this week because the show is on at 2 p.m. We're not doing a post show. There is also no rack because Lindsay's out of town. So the next time this stream is live will be this Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern for another edition of CB Radio. We'll be back next
Sunday.
There also
would have been no rack on Thursday.
It would have been on a Wednesday. But it's not happening either way. We'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio live at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's at WTR Sunday Night on the socials. Tim.
Follow me on X or Twitter, Twitter X, whatever the hell you want to call it, at Flames Forums. I'm slowly but surely working at becoming the meme king for September.
Okay.
Meme or mean?
Meme. Meme. Oh, okay. The meme king.
I thought he said mean for a second. I was going to be like, gay?
Case?
I have social media things that exist. You can find them at Kyle Driver. I post quarterly if you're lucky.
Right.
You can find me on social medias at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. That's Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, all that fun stuff. So keep an eye out.
Chet, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support channel by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store because #EpicPartner do! Master's. Chet,
download the mobile game tablets. That helps support the channel as well. But yeah, we're done. Send us home, Tim.
Everybody have yourselves a great week. Don't forget, September starts tomorrow. It also happens to be Labor Day, so happy Labor Day.